Hello, I'm Carmen Nave Jenkins, Managing Editor of the International Journal of Stroke, and I spoke to Dr. Adam Curtin, submitting author for the article Diffusion Imaging of Cerebral Diaschesis in Childhood Arterial Ischemic Stroke.
My name's Adam Curtin, and I'm a pediatric neurologist, and I'm an associate professor of pediatrics and clinical neurosciences at the University of Calgary in Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Thanks for speaking to us, Adam. In this study, you hypothesized that cerebral diaschesis is measurable in childhood AIS. So what is diaschesis, and what made you look into this area in particular?
So the term diaschesis dates back over 100 years, and it was first used to describe changes in the brain that occur at some site distant or remote from the site of an injury, stroke being a good example. And so that's what we mean by diaschesis. And part of our research program is interested in how stroke, in our case, in the young brain, in the developing brain, not only injures that part of the brain, but what effect it has on remote or connected areas in the brain. And that's what led us to see if we could use imaging to try and understand that process. And we thought that we might be able to see signs of diaschesis or remote changes occurring remotely from acute stroke.
So why is it an important thing to measure in children?
Well, I think it's probably relevant in stroke of all ages. I think there's a few reasons why we thought it was both interesting and clinically relevant. One was that we had noticed this occurring, and we had some concern that it had an appearance that was very similar to the stroke itself, and we had seen some examples where the imaging changes produced were being mislabeled as a new stroke or an additional stroke, and this carried obviously implications for clinical management. So we thought that was important to sort out. And then, as I said, the whether or not acute imaging or early imaging could help us measure this type of remote change in the brain. We wondered whether that might help us better predict outcome, because we had seen some similar results in an earlier study looking at one example of remote change and found it was quite predictive of long-term outcomes. So those were the main reasons.
So this is a sub-study, of course, of the validation of the pediatric NIH stroke scale study, which prospectively enrolled children with acute AIS in both acute and early follow-up. So what did you follow up and what were you measuring in the follow-up?
This was a sub-study of the NIH stroke scale study in children, and that study was ideally suited for this because it had enrolled children prospectively and it had completed MRI imaging, both diagnosis and then an early subacute time frame, 1 to 2 weeks from stroke. And that gave us the exact time window that we were interested in looking at their diffusion imaging. So the outcomes we were interested in were first the imaging using diffusion scans, whether we could detect signs of this remote change or diaschesis in not the stroke area itself, but in areas connected to the stroke area. And then we compared that imaging, those imaging outcomes with the clinical outcomes, which we measure using the pediatric stroke outcome measure. And we looked for correlations between the diffusion imaging markers and a variety of outcomes, including motor outcomes and cognitive or behavioral outcomes.
So in your paper, children with diaschesis tended to be younger. You mentioned that. Were you able to identify why that may occur?
Well, it was one of our original hypotheses. We had done some earlier work, and a few other groups had looked as well at this idea of remote change on diffusion imaging. And one of the most obvious places is in the motor tracts, in the corticospinal tracts. And we had described this after a Dutch group described it now more than 10 years ago, where you could see diffusion changes going down the corticospinal tracts away from a stroke. And we found that that correlated with a long-term motor outcome. But we first did that in newborn stroke, which is actually one of the most common types of stroke we see in children. And it was very easy to see and very prominent. And then we went on and we were surprised that this had barely been described in adult stroke, which, of course, is more common. And we went on and did a study in childhood stroke and found the same thing. And we did do a study in adult stroke and we found it again, although it was much more difficult to detect. So all that to say, we had some idea going in that perhaps younger brains were better able to demonstrate these types of changes on diffusion imaging. Perhaps due to differences in their state of myelination or their water content, or there may be several reasons why a young brain can show this better. And even just within this childhood sample, we did see what appeared to be an association with younger age showing more of this type of change on diffusion imaging.
Okay. So what did you find overall? What was your overall conclusion, primary outcome for this study?
Yeah, so I think we found and were able to describe that this idea or this process of dyschisis does occur in acute stroke. And by that we mean if you look closely and use a, you can see it with the naked eye, but if you use some simple software on acute clinically obtained diffusion scans, you can see diffusion changes remote from the stroke. So usually in highly connected structures, say in a middle cerebral artery stroke, we saw changes in areas in the thalamus and the corpus callosum and the basal ganglia that were all logically connected to where the injury was. So these are quantifiable and detectable, and I think represent a form of dyschisis. And so I think we've shown that this does occur and that you can image it. We did find secondarily that there seemed to be an association with that signal after we corrected for stroke size and other variables with their non-motor outcome. Although our sample size was limited, and even though the association was significant, our outcome measures are also quite simple. So I think that needs some further study, whether this can be a helpful tool in predicting long-term outcomes. I think the associations we saw are interesting, but not yet conclusive. So I think that sets the stage for some better studies in the future.
And I guess just to wrap this up, so why are the clinical implications for mistaking dyschisis for new areas of infarction problematic? Like, what are those implications going to be?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think we had seen numerous cases where we would image a child with MRI and diagnose the stroke, and then they would have a follow-up scan, and there would be some new diffusion change on the scan in a new area of the brain. And not unreasonably, the radiologist would report it and say, well, I see new diffusion changes. I think there's been a stroke recurrence or the stroke is expanding. And this would usually trigger the clinician to change management, be more aggressive with their therapies and obviously worry a lot about their patient that they were still having new or recurrent strokes. So I think recognizing it instead for just an evolution or a change in diffusion imaging, which we think it is, can help people see it for what it is and not overinterpret it and have them being more aggressive or changing management in their patient, making a mistake thinking they'd had additional stroke. I think for people who deal with acute stroke patients, I think that's quite clinically relevant.
You've been listening to a podcast interview with Dr. Adam Curtin. I'm Carmen Leif Jenkins, Managing Editor of the International Journal of Stroke. The International Journal of Stroke is the flagship publication of the World Stroke Organization. Please consider becoming a member.